It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is September 22nd, 2021. And it is 1901 UTC now, but it is time for news to me. Hello, welcome. I am, speaking of comm, I am just now going over there into comm, so we're going to go to Anon Radio. How do you do that? You just SSH over to SDF, that powers Anon Radio, and then once you're there, you type comm, C-O-M, hit enter, boom. You are now in commode chat, not your dad's comm interpreter like in the old DOS days. No, this is a communications program called Commode, and from there you can join 58 other people who are hanging out in the most popular, coolest room in comm, Anon Radio. All you gotta do is press G for go to Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, hit enter. You join all sorts of cool people like Claudio M, Northern Lights, GTC 1977, W. Visser, all sorts of cool people. Jazzmaz is always listening, wherever he is. And just big shout out to everybody. M. Stoney will probably show up. Tobe, always a pleasure. And let's see. If we press the equal sign in comm, you get to see the schedule. And you can see that the Zeptar show is coming up at 2000 hours. And Banana Republic is tonight at 00 UTC. And Butt Stuff with 33 and a third. So, very exciting, super cool shows all over the place. So, definitely a good time. Great day to have Anon Radio. It is also the very first day of the Moon Tower Comedy Festival here in beautiful Austin, Texas, which means that I've taken days off, and I'm going to be going and seeing lots of comedy shows, hopefully not catching COVID-19, because jeepers creepers, I am scared of the crowds, but almost scared enough to not go. All right. Oh, and happy fall equinox. Well, welcome and happy to everyone. It's a great day.
That's correct.
All right. So let's go ahead and get started. I'm eating some Pez. let's go ahead and get started the way we almost always start the show, and that's
world news.
With the world news. All right. So first up, here's an update. If you remember, there was a woman that they found out on the rocks in Croatia. Well, mystery solved. Croatian police solved mystery of woman with no memory found on a rock. A woman rescued from a Croatian island with no memory of how she got there, where she came from, or who she was, has been identified as Slovakian former designer who had lived in the U.S. and made jewelry for celebrities, including Diana Ross. Croatian police on Wednesday named the woman as Danela or Dana Adamkova, age 57, adding that her identity had been established after friends and acquaintances from Croatia and Slovakia recognized her from a photograph released on Monday. The news site 24Sata said confirmation of Adamkova's identity had also come from the U.S., where she lived on and off until 2015, reportedly selling jewelry to stars, including, I don't know these people, Brigitte Bardot and Barbara Streisand. Oh, I know who Barbara Streisand is. Her work also featured in the series Friends. She was discovered on September 12th on the island of Kirk, sitting on a jagged rock close to the sea. Police said she spoke perfect English but had no ID. So let's see. I'm trying to see what our update is. Police. Adamkova was spotted on a jagged outcrop. And okay, what's the update though? They're just retelling the story. The couple. Okay. All right. So apparently she's still got amnesia. Officials on Wednesday described her condition as stable and said she was responding to treatment in the hospital. Social services would take over once she was discharged. So that's about all we know. I really thought we were going to hear that she was okay or fine. Nope. They figured out who she was and she's in the hospital. So maybe she'll get better. Maybe she won't. that's not really our business. So anyway, just a heads up that that update's going on. Whoa, what's going on? Oh, sorry, I got distracted by Calm. Calm is super fun, but sometimes it gets distracted. Such is life. Anyway, let's keep focus. Focus, focus, focus. All right, Ukraine's leader's aide survives assassination attempt. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has promised a strong response after one of his top aides survived an apparent assassination attempt. Serhiy Shafir's car was struck with a volley of bullets as he left his home south of the capital of Kiev on Wednesday morning. His driver was wounded. It's not known who carried out the shooting, but Mr. Zelensky said it could have been a foreign or domestic attack. That's really narrowing it down. The Kremlin has categorically denied any Russian involvement. Describing the moment that the bullet struck his vehicle, Mr. Shafir said, "We had to speed up a little. It was scary." He praised his driver, who managed to continue to drive after the shots rang out. Mr. Shafir suggested he was targeted in a bid to intimidate the highest echelon of power, and that such an attempt would not work. "One has to understand that our president is very strong-willed. He has a spine and cannot be intimidated," he added. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said any suggestions of a link with Moscow bore the signs of an excessively excited emotional state. Unfortunately, nowadays, whatever happens in Ukraine, none of the current politicians are able to rule out the Russia trace, he said. So, yeah, no word if it could be foreign or domestic, but Russia is very vehemently denying it in this report from The Guardian. The attack comes a few days before Mr. Zelensky's bill to rein in Ukraine's powerful oligarchs is debated in Parliament. And they are a small group of super-rich businessmen who dominate the country's economic and political life. So, we shall see how that goes. Oh, hello, one of alts. Welcome, welcome. And Publius is in the house. Wow. Awesome times. All right. Let's move over to Africa for a little bit. Libya's parliament passes a no-confidence vote to the UN-backed government. Libya's parliament on Tuesday passed a no-confidence vote in the war-scarred country's unity government, dealing a new blow to UN-backed peace efforts and plans for December elections. 89 of 113 lawmakers who attended the lower house session in the eastern city of Tobruk voted to withdraw confidence from the Tripoli-based administration of interim Prime Minister Abdulhamid Dbeibah, spokesman Abdallah Blihik said. But an upper house based in the capital rejected the vote, saying it violated established procedures, laying bare once more the extent of divisions between the country's east and west. The latest escalation came amid tensions between the House of Representatives and Dbeibah's government, which took office earlier this year with a mandate to guide the North African country to elections on December 24th. Yeah, don't forget to take your medicine. let's see. I say no to war, yes to elections for United Libya, is what the current leader said. A short term later in Tripoli, he paid tribute to those honorable lawmakers who rejected what he termed as a masquerade. Dozens of supporters demanded the fall of parliament. Dbeibah responded with, "God's help, it will fall," calling for a large rally in the city on Friday. So, lots of drama going on in Libya, and this is the kind of political noise that often comes out of a lot of places where there's a lot of power up for grabs and there's just not a coalescence of people. All right. It's never too late to get ice cream, Publius. I don't want to tell you, but the Dairy Queen has ice cream available almost till midnight, so never forget. Oh no! He's in Germany. Is everything closed? That's a bummer. Let's talk about... we could talk about France. Let me see. I think I've got a Germany story here. Olaf Scholz, the Social Democrat who has cast himself as Merkel's heir. Center-left Olaf Scholz has cast himself as the favorite to secede Chancellor Angela Merkel in the September 26th general election, with his Social Democratic Party, or SPD, boasting a consistent lead throughout the campaign. France 24 looks at how Germany's current finance minister has turned his lack of charisma into a political strength. Oh, bummer. Shops close at 8. Chocolate. Senators, okay, anyway, the SPD's poll lead has surprised many observers of German politics, seeing as the party had lagged behind Merkel's Christian Democratic Union and the Greens in the polls as late as June. But Olaf Scholz, Germany's finance minister, vice chancellor to Merkel, and longstanding bete noir of his party's largely leftist members, oversaw an extraordinary turnaround for the SPD. After years of sinking popularity since they were last in power under Gerhard Schroeder, chancellor from 1998 to 2005, the SPD finally looks set to have a shot at leading a German government once again. Hello, thanks. The blunder of Scholz's opponent played a key role in making him a favorite, pollsters say. The CDU made a big mistake in making the hapless Armin Laschet their candidate instead of his popular right-wing rival Markus Söder. Hey, I'm a Markus. The leader of the CSU, the CDU, lots of abbreviations here, the Bavarian sister party to the CDU, who won acclaim for his handling of COVID-19 as Bavaria's minister president. Laschet notably embarrassed himself and his party when he was photographed laughing during a visit to a flood-stricken town in July. Green candidate Anna Baerbock, meanwhile, saw her poll ratings plummet amid accusations of plagiarism in her latest book and exaggerated claims in her CVs. Scholz, a man. On the face of it, then, Scholz looks like the favorite by default. After all, he's infamously uncharismatic politician whom Germans have long nicknamed Scholz, a man, combining his name with Automat, because some say he responds to questions like a robot. He is the archetypal politician who thinks well but communicates poorly, as weekly magazine Der Spiegel put it. So, there is a whole lot more to this story. If you are interested in German politics, definitely check out the France 24 article. But, you know, like I say...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Hey, welcome. Welcome, DFS. Welcome to Calm. And hopefully, welcome to an on radio. Let's keep on rolling. We got some more European news to talk about. Specifically, French ambassador is going to return to the U.S. as Biden and Macron seek to restore confidence. French President Emmanuel Macron and U.S. President Joe Biden spoke on the phone Wednesday amid a diplomatic row over submarine contracts, with France vowing to return its recalled ambassador to Washington next week as part of a measure to restore confidence between the squabbling allies. Macron will send France's ambassador back to the United States after Joe Biden agreed that consulting France before announcing a security pact with Australia could have prevented a diplomatic row. France recalled its ambassadors from the United States and Australia last week after the U.S. and Britain signed a nuclear submarine deal with Australia, causing Canberra to scrap a previous multi-billion-dollar French-designed submarine deal. Meanwhile, this is coming to us from Publius, live. Hello, DFS. Meanwhile, the awful AFD, which actually has a pro-nuclear plank in its platform, refuses to actually say the word in televised debates. Anyway, interesting. AFD and German politics. Very interesting times. If you want to talk, I get so distracted. Calm is always so interesting, so definitely check it out. X1, welcome. Oh, yeah. Alright, so let's keep on moving. Mixed reactions in Tunisia as the president vows new electoral code. The current president of Tunisia, who also kind of just took over the country, kicked out parliament and everything earlier this year, and has said that he's like the lead scholar on, or the lead, he said he was like he was like the source of interpretation of the Constitution or something like that. Well, anyway, surprise, surprise, people are a little bit mixed reaction. Tunisians reacted on Tuesday after the country's president announced plans to draft a new electoral code and appoint transitional leadership, and to hang on to the exceptional powers he seized in July, throwing the country's young democracy into question. Sounds dictatory to me. In a speech Monday night, President Kais Saied had promised that the new initiatives would respect Tunisians' hard-fought rights and freedoms and democratic constitution. Saied's actions have sidelined Tunisia's long-governing Islamist party, which accuses him of a coup, and worried Islamist groups around the region. Many Tunisians welcome his moves. Human rights groups and some others are concerned about the future of the only country to emerge from the turbulent Arab Spring uprisings with a new democratic system. Hey, Snowdusk, welcome. Thank you for joining. In Calm. So political analyst Slahedin Jurci said that he believed the change would reduce the role of political parties and rely on the election of individuals. President Saied has denounced his plans to supporters in the impoverished town of Sidi Bouzid, the birthplace of the Arab Spring, where many people are disillusioned with the country's failure to solve economic and social problems since overthrowing its repressive leaders a decade ago. So, the North African nation was widely seen as a model for budding democracies, but has failed to cure chronic unemployment and other social ills, especially in neglected provinces. So, troubling times. Indeed.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
This little guy, I tell you what, that voice. I want to hear the music. Always playing in the back of my head. Come on. Let's do a couple COVID stories, and then we will play a song. How about that? Oh, look, AdBlock Plus has been updated. That's not a news story. All right, here we go. First.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Canadian police are seeking a man who allegedly punched a nurse for vaccinating his wife. Police in the Canadian province of Quebec... Oh no! Snow Dusk, I hope you're okay. Police in the province of Quebec are searching for a man they suspect of punching a nurse in the face for giving his wife a COVID-19 vaccine without his consent. That doesn't add up. The man confronted the female nurse on Monday morning in the office of a pharmacy in the city of Sherbrooke, about 155 kilometers southeast of Montreal. Well, I guess it's not the, it's Sherbrooke, anyway, where she was assigned to administer vaccines. Our suspect went directly into the office and began to yell at the nurse. The man appeared to be shocked that his wife was vaccinated at the pharmacy without his authorization and hit the nurse in the face. Sherbrooke police are asking for the public's help in finding the assailant, who they say had short hair, dark eyes, thick eyebrows, and a tattoo resembling a cross on his hands. Nurses globally have faced abuse along with suffering burnout on the job in the fight against COVID-19. It was not clear whether the suspect opposed vaccinations or whether his wife had in fact been inoculated at the same pharmacy. Anti-vaccine protests across Canada have ramped up in the run-up to this week's election, prompting the this must be from a couple days ago because I think that finished. No, this is Wednesday the 22nd. I thought Trudeau already won. Anyway, maybe I'm wrong. Protesters have drawn ire from the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, on the campaign trail for targeting hospitals and healthcare workers, and he's vowed to crack down on such actions. Oh no! So, we shall see what happens there. Oh man, well don't worry, I got something that's a little bit lighter for you, before we talk song. And that's COVID! More COVID, but we're going to talk about llamas. 50th anniversary of the Munich subway tomorrow. Well, that's not quite llama story. A COVID therapy derived from a llama named Fifi has shown significant potential. It is a treatment made of nanobodies, small, simpler versions of antibodies, which llamas and camels produce naturally in response to infection. Once the therapy has been tested in humans, scientists say it could be given as a simple nasal spray to treat and even prevent early infection. Professor James Naismith described nanobodies as fantastically exciting. Professor Naismith, who is one of the lead researchers and director of the Rosalind Franklin Institute in Oxfordshire, explained that coronavirus-infected rodents treated with the new nanobody nasal spray fully recovered within 6 days. The treatment has so far been tested only in lab animals, but Public Health England said it was among the most effective SARS-CoV-2 neutralizing agents it had ever tested. So, Fifi the llama could save us all with her little nano antibodies, nanobodies, as they've called. So, pretty fun, pretty cool, fun stuff. All right, well, let's go ahead and play a song, because that voice. I don't know where I found this sound, but golly jeepers creepers. Anyway, let's go ahead and listen to a song. This is from Foreigner, and it's called Waiting for a Girl Like You. Yeah, Foreigner.
So long, I've been looking too hard, I've been You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. That's the Super Dimensional Fortress. Macross. No, not really. Not right now. SDF is a magic public Unix access system. And right now, starting today, the SDF Plan 9 Fall 2021 Boot Camp begins. There's a T-Note, that's T-E-A, and orientation on Sunday, September 9th, 26th at 2 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. I don't know how to translate PDT to UTC. I'm used to UTC time, so let's just ask our friend startpage.com. 2 p.m. to UTC. 2 p.m. PDT to UTC. Let's find out what that time actually means. It is at 2100 hours UTC so 2100 hours UTC on Sunday, September 26th. Curious about Plan 9? Now's your chance to learn the basics with friendly people. You can find out more at sdf.org/plan9. That's P-L-A-N, the number 9. Or check out SDF on Mastodon, and you can learn more about it there, too. All right. Oh, and stick around. In 6 minutes, we got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Tobe, the most advanced, the wildest, most entertaining show you haven't heard yet. So please check it out. we got the Dubious Goals Committee coming up pretty quick. So what do we got to do now? Well, it's time to go through some headlines. One of the things that I thought was great was there's a short story on the BBC you can read. It's a video that's about 5 minutes long, but this feels like something that you'd read at the end of days. Australia is one of the countries already seeing an increase in the number of extremely hot days because of climate change, with places like Sydney experiencing temperatures around 50 C. The intense heat has led to unusually strong brush fires and some indigenous species dying en masse. As the BBC's Life at 50 Degrees season continues, the film explores how this new reality is hitting home in Australia. And if that doesn't say climate change to anybody, hey, world, let's get used to living at 50 C. Which is just was unthinkable not too long ago, especially probably if you're listening to non-radio when you were a kid. 50 C was probably just not even like an imaginable, like, oh, people just live in places where it's 122 degrees all the time. All right, Lithuania urges people to throw away Chinese phones. Consumers should throw away their Chinese phones and avoid buying new ones, Lithuania's defense minister has warned. A report by its National Cybersecurity Center tested 5G mobile phones from Chinese manufacturers. It claimed that one Xiaomi phone had built-in censorship tools, while another Huawei model had security flaws. Huawei said no user data is sent externally, and Xiaomi said it does not censor communications. Our recommendation is to not buy Chinese phones and to get rid of those already purchased as fast as reasonably possible, said Defense Deputy Minister Margaris Abukavicius. There's a bunch of details, but we don't got time, so we can't do this. So we can't talk about just yet, but wow. For that story. Angry scenes at Haiti airport as deported migrants arrive. Angry scenes broke out at Haiti's main airport after migrants were deported to the country from the U.S. On Tuesday, migrants at the airport in Port-au-Prince rushed back towards the plane they had arrived on. Oh, click the wrong button, arrived on. While others threw shoes at the jet. Last weekend, the U.S. started flying out migrants from a Texas border town, which has seen an influx in recent weeks. That's putting it lightly. About 13,000 would-be immigrants have gathered under a bridge connecting Del Rio in Texas to Ciudad Acuña in Mexico. Chaos unfolded at Toussaint Louverture Airport as one man attempted to reboard the aircraft. The plane's crew rushed to close the jet doors in time. Video footage taken at the airport shows people scrambling for their personal belongings after their bags were dumped out of the plane. There are reports that some migrants were not told they would be returning to Haiti. So, it's just a really tragic scene. The U.S. is doing as little as possible, of course. Anyway, we don't have time to go into it. More microplastic in babies' feces than in adults. That's a gross study, but important, I guess. Infants have more microplastics in their feces than adults, a study's found. Microplastics are plastic particles smaller than 5 millimeters in size that have been released into the environment from the breakage of bigger plastics. They are a threat to the environment because they do not easily biodegrade, and recent research has found them in dust, food, fruit, bottled water, and as a result, animal and human waste. Human exposure to microplastics is a possible health concern, but little is known about its extent. So, we don't have, again, we're running through just the headlines, but this is scary and troubling stuff, because, I mean, that's a lot of sea life is dying because it eats a bunch of plastic, they eat a bunch of plastic, and then they just think they're full, they can't eat anymore, and, yeah, then they just die from starvation. A new Texas law is banning abortion-inducing drugs after 7 weeks of pregnancy. By the end of the year, Texas may have even more restrictions on the ability to get an abortion after Greg Abbott, son of a bitch, quietly signed into law new restrictions banning the mail order provision of abortion medications 7 weeks into pregnancy. The law prevents providers from prescribing abortion-inducing drugs more than 7 weeks instead of 10 weeks. The current limit, it takes effect on December 2nd. And we're out of time, so we're going to just have to leave it at that. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. Stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee.
Our time's coming to an end. Thanks for listening.
Eat more
I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.